aren't you? I'm glad he didn't give up on you. I'm glad he's not willing to really give up on any of us. We'd be in a mess if he was, wouldn't we? Junior church, you can be dismissed. If you're going to junior church, now's your chance. Good to see these children, even though they're leaving in mass exodus like that. They don't want to be in here. Can't blame them. Glad they're in church. Amen. 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 Glad we have people over there that's putting up with them and doing their jobs. Amen. I'm glad somebody put up with me. I can tell you that. Isaiah chapter 31 this morning. Isaiah chapter number 31. Isaiah chapter number 31, starting verse number 1. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again for allowing us to come before the throne of grace this morning. I'm thankful for the grace you bestowed upon us already. Thankful for the songs this morning and the worship that we've, Lord, given our hearts to you already. Lord, I thank you for meeting with us in song already and in spirit. Lord, now, Lord, just bless the preaching of your word. The reading of your word this morning, Lord, bind the devil off this place, Lord. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit this morning, Lord. Open the hearts and minds of your people, Lord, and speak to them. Lord, just use me as a messenger, but Lord, thank you. It's all about the message and not the messenger. Lord, I ask you now, Lord, to just meet with us like you never have before. Be with those kids over there this morning in junior church. Open their hearts and minds, Lord, to listen to the stories that have been prepared for them and to enjoy church. And Lord, maybe someday they'll be telling their kids and grandkids the great story of Jesus, how it never gets old. Lord, we thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 31, verse number 1 through 3. The Bible says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall and he that is helping shall fall down, that they all shall fail together. For thus hath the Lord spoken unto me, like as the lion and the young lion roaring on his prey. When a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him, he will not be afraid of their voice, nor abase himself for the noise of them. So shall the Lord of hosts come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. As birds flying, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it. And passing over, he will preserve it. Turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. For in that day every man shall cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have made unto you for a sin. Then shall the Assyrian fall with the sword. Not of a mighty man and of the sword, not of a mean man shall devour him, but he shall flee from the sword, and his young man shall be discomfited. He shall pass over to his stronghold of fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and his furnace in Jerusalem. The quote that caught my eye when I was reading this, or the statement, is in verse number 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. I'll say it again. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. You know the story of the Israelites, how, you know, Moses went in, God used Moses to go in and rescue them from the Egyptians. And all through their journey, they kept making statements like, you know, we were better off in Egypt than we are to go through this journey. Well, how often are we as Christians like that? We get in this Christian journey, and then something comes up, a trial comes up. We have to live by faith and not by what, church? Sight. The just shall live by faith. And when it comes to that, we just don't like that. We like to see what's in front of us. We like to see what's going to happen. We like to know the outcome before the outcome ever knows. But can I tell you something? God already has seen what is going to happen. God already knows the outcome. And if you're trusting in the Lord, you're going to be all right. You know, the Bible talks about some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Folks, this morning I want to warn you not to go down to Egypt for help. Now, we know in the Bible, Egypt is a picture and type of this world. And I'll tell you what, all around you, there are people out there in this world itching for Christians, good moms, good dads, good servants, good preachers, itching for them to come get unbiblical counseling from the world. The devil would love for you to go out there and fill your brain full of lies to tell you how you can get your problem fixed, how you can get your marriage fixed, how you can, get that wayward child back home, how you can fix your home, how you can be a better boss, how you can be a better mom, listen, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, is what God said. Don't ever go down for help. Look at 1 John chapter number 2. Save your place there in Isaiah. 1 John chapter number 2. Don't ever look down for help. 1 John chapter number 2, verse 15 through 17. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the what, church? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now God is not saying not to love individuals. Don't misinterpret what God is saying. What He's saying is, in your trial, in your tribulation, you shouldn't be in love with the things of this world, so that should be the first place you should go for your help, for your counsel. You should be so in love with the God of this Bible and the God of heaven that you seek counsel from the Word of God. Or maybe you have a preacher or a daddy or a mama or somebody who's in tune with the Lord that you can go get some help from. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. It's a dangerous place to be. Verse number 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of what, church? And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time. I'll give you an example of going down to the world. There was a man in Seward. He was a young man at the time, probably 14 or 15 years old, grew up in church, had a good life, a mom and daddy that brought him to church, loved the Lord, had a bunch of brothers. Well, the poor kid, he got tied up in some things that he shouldn't get tied up in, got with the wrong crowd, started getting on drugs when he was very young. And I'll just give you a good example of going down to Egypt for help. Instead of coming to his preacher, instead of going to the man of God and getting some biblical help, his parents signed him up with a worldly counselor, and here he is in there getting counsel on why he should not be partaking of drugs. And two times in a three-hour session, the man giving the counsel steps out to take a smoke break. Now, we laugh at that. But folks, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. There's no help in the world. The help is in the Bible. The help is in your local church, or at least it should be. The help is in the men and women of God that you know, that trust and live by faith. That's where you ought to be going to get your help from. Look at James 4:4. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. I could give you many, many, many more examples of why you shouldn't go down to Egypt for help. We could spend all morning talking about examples of young men and women who have went down to Egypt for help and never get the right answers. James 4:4, the Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the what, church? World is the enemy of God. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at Colossians in chapter number 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8. The Bible says, now this is very important, beware lest any man, what, church? I'll let you get there. I want you to see it. That this isn't Drew talking. This is God telling you, beware of them that go down to Egypt for help. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of what, church? Men, after the rudiments of the what? The world, and not after Christ. Listen, you are not going to find the counsel you need outside of God's holy word. If this is not the book that they pick up to try to lead you and guide you into all truth, which, by the way, that if they don't have the Holy Ghost living in them to lead them and guide them into all truth so that they can help you get led and be guided into all truth, I wouldn't even go to them for counsel. Now, I'm not telling you, oh, I know you got good family members, good friends that give you good advice. I understand all that. You got good friends, good family. But look here, I got a lot of family that I love to death and I'll conversate with, but I'll never go to them for advice on how to be a good dad. I'll never go to them for advice on how to be a better father, a better husband. I'll never do it. Why? Because God's got a better answer. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Well, what's wrong with this? Well, anytime you go down for help, you're sure to fall. Think about it. Anybody ever like staggered before and you catch yourself before you fall? Well, as you're falling, it's easier to just like fall down than it is to try and like save yourself and stay up, right? If we just fall down, it'd be a lot. It might hurt a little bit more, but it'd be easier to just go ahead and fall down. Well, what about this? In life, it's easy to fall down. It's not natural to look up when things are rough. It's easy to find someone with something in common to trust in or lean on. You ever had a problem in life and you look around you and you're like, I wonder, you know, maybe the Lord will bring, or the devil will bring a memory to you and say, hey, you remember that person that tried to tell you about their problem? Now you're going through that problem. They didn't get any help. Go ask them what they're doing. And they'll tell you, well, sister, I've been down so long. I just don't know what to do. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares about my problem. And you listen to that, you're like, you know what? Nobody really cares about me. Listen, that's a lie. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Folks, we need to start looking in the right direction for our help. It's easy to go find someone to have pity on you, because we all like pity, don't we? Listen, we get enough of that when we look in the mirror. You don't need to go around and find someone that's going to feel sorry for you. You need to find someone who's going to look at you and love you and open the Bible and tell you how God is the deliverer of your sin. He has made you, given you the opportunity to be freed from sin. He's the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You should never go to someone that's going to tell you your sin is okay, because God said your sin is not okay. Hey, what you ought to do is go to someone who tells you that sin is sin, it's bad, it's against God, it's against your parents, it's against your family, it's against your church, it's hurting you, it's hurting them, it's hurting your relationship with God, and it's wrong. Those are the kind of people you need to go conversate with. Those are the kind of people that are going to hurt your feelings a little bit, but the Bible says the just shall live by faith, and the truth will make you free. Those are the kind of people that you need to go to. If you walk out of there with your feelings hurt, go back and see them again. Amen? Go back and see them again. Be a little bit mad at them, but thank them later that they told you the truth, because I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than sitting in a counseling session maybe 8 or 10 or 12 times and finally seeing the light bulb click on and watching the devil get defeated in that young man or that young lady's life, and watching the Lord bring freedom over that young man or that young lady's life, and watching a smile come back to their face again, and watching the tears flow down. Because why? Because someone told them the truth that being angry is wrong, that being bitter is wrong, that not forgiving is wrong. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. And you're in the wrong for not forgiving. They're in the wrong for hurting you, but you're in the wrong, just as wrong, for not forgiving them. It's wrong. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. If we find someone with common ground in our falling state, they must be falling also. Think about that. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. We must learn to be wise in seeking our help in a fallen state. I know when we fall, oftentimes we fear what may happen next. We must understand in our fallen state, can I tell you this, that God wants to help us. God always wants to help us in our fallen state. Listen, folks, we are His children. Read the Old Testament at how many times God just could have said, you know what, enough is enough for these people. Generations of people died off before they ever even made it to the Promised Land, but God was right there with them the whole time. He never gave up. We just sang about it. Folks, God wants to help you. Number two, God will take care of your enemies. Can you believe that? God, look at the book of Isaiah chapter number 41. Turn over a few chapters from where we were. Isaiah 41. God will take care of your enemies. I like knowing that my enemies have already been taken care of. Or will be taken care of. Start in verse number 8. It says God talking to His people. And I know we're not Israel, but can I tell you this? We are part of that royal priesthood, a chosen generation, amen. We are God's people as men and women of God. Verse number 8, but thou, Israel, art my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Aren't you glad that God has not cast you away this morning? How many would say there's been plenty of times where if God had cast me away, I wouldn't blame Him. Been there, done that. Plenty of times that God should have said, I'm done with this fella. He's done. But let me tell you something. I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. And it gives me hope to know that God's not done with me yet. And He's not done with you. Look at verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. It sure is good to know that God is with us this morning. Amen. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Hey, aren't you glad that your righteousness is as filthy rags, and if it was about your righteousness, you'd have fell on your face a long time ago. I'm thankful that it's God's righteousness that holds me up every single day and keeps me going every single day and keeps me breathing every single day and allows me to preach week after week after week. It's God's righteousness that allows me to not fail on my family. It's God's righteousness that allows me to not fail as a preacher. It's God's righteousness that allows me to just get up, take another breath, and just keep going for the Lord. It's not about me. It's all about Him. And I'm so thankful that it's God's righteousness this morning. Aren't you? Behold, verse 11. All they that were incensed against thee shall be what, church? Ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee shall be as what, church? Nothing. You wonder why all these nations that try to fight Israel aren't going to make it. Well, it's right there. But folks, you know, we got the same promise as His people. People can't mess with us. Threaten me with heaven. You can put a bullet to my head right now or a gun to my head, pull the trigger, and if you kill me, if the Lord allows me to go, guess what? Absent from the body, Brother Drew's present with the Lord. Amen? Yeah, I win. I win. You win. Look, they can't mess with us. They can do nothing. And as a thing of naught, for I, the Lord, verse 13, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will, what, church? So, folks, I'm glad that God wants to help us. I'm glad He will help us. I'm glad He'll take care of our enemies, and I'm glad that He's a great God. Over in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, a lot of Bible this morning. But I love the Bible, don't you? Exodus chapter 14. In our fallen and fearful state, we must realize not only that God will take care of us, not only that He'll take care of our enemies, not only will He help us, but can I say this? God will fight for us. Aren't you glad that? Exodus 14 and verse number 14. Very familiar story, you know it. The Bible says, the Lord shall fight for who, church? You, and ye shall hold your peace. So whenever I'm going into a trial, whenever something happens in my life that I cannot control, what do? I tell the Lord, this belongs to you. And here's the deal. Be okay with what happens next. Because it doesn't matter. Well, what if that... it doesn't matter. You gave the situation to the Lord. That's the difference in living by faith and living by sight. The Bible says the just shall live by what? Faith. You cannot control what other people do. You're not going to be able to control what the devil does because, listen, he's going to fight you. The more right you do, the more wrong he's going to do. Amen? He's going to fight you. You give that situation to the Lord, and what happens next? Guess what? You gave it to the Lord. He's in control of it. Amen? Don't let the devil say, well, didn't you give that to the Lord? Well, if you gave that to the Lord, why? No. I gave it to the Lord. He said He would fight for me. Look at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea. Now imagine this scene. We've read this story 100 times, but imagine the scene. And divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. The angel of the Lord, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. You notice how Moses never argued with God? Not one time. And I also like in verse number 17, he said he's going to harden the hearts of the Egyptians. Now, you wonder why he did that. He said that they may follow them. In other words, I don't know how you would think if you were watching a crowd of people, if you were watching literally the sea parted in front of your eyes. You're the Egyptians chasing these people. You see the sea parted and you're thinking, something ain't right. Amen? Now, how many of y'all, I'm thinking like, well, all those guys are making it through just fine. But normally, you know, naturally, you're not going to think, I can do that. Right? But what did God do? He hardened their hearts so that they followed them. And what was he doing? He was preparing to destroy every single one of them. Isn't that pretty neat how God works? I look at just rivers like Sepulga River or Conecuh River. There's places there you can't cross. I mean, I could imagine that being parted, and 50 feet away you can get to the other side, 100 foot. But imagine going to the Gulf of Mexico and watching that thing go whoop, just like that. And not mud, not muddy, dry ground. Dry ground. How many of y'all would walk in? Be tough, wouldn't it? Walls. Let's just keep reading. This is a good story. I like this story. Verse 21. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord... Now, not Moses. Did Moses part the Red Sea? Who did? God did. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were what? And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon what kind of ground? Dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. That would be a really neat scene, wouldn't it? But I still don't know if I'd go in. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, took off their chariot wheels. Now, that ain't fair, is it? But hey, don't mess with God. He'll take your wheels off your car, right? Took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, and the waters may come again. This is a cool story. All the Israelites get across, right? Now all the Egyptians are pursuing. They're in there. Tires are looking good. Wheels are looking good on the chariots. And God said, Poof, I'm going to take your wheels off. Try to run now. Can you imagine? And Moses is like, oh, this is going to be good. Tell me to lift up my hand. Tell me to lift up my hand. When he lifts up his hand, I can just picture Moses going. Think about it. They're trying to turn that chariot around on that dry ground with no tires on it. That'd be tough, wouldn't it? Moses stretched forth his hand and listen. What does the Bible say? Stretch out thy hand over the sea that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Isn't it good to know that God will fight for us? Now look, if God is able to part the Red Sea and kill an army of Egyptians, do you think God is able to handle your problem that's on your mind right now? Guarantee every one of us sitting here thinking about something. I sure wish I'd have went to God earlier. Man, I have to tell myself that almost every day. Why don't I just ask the Lord first? After all, the Bible does say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. But man is so natural, especially as a man who thinks, you know, in my flesh I can do anything, right? I can fix it. I can do that. I can fix that problem. I can fix my own marriage. My kids will be fine. They'll get over it. Mm-mm. God, how can I fix this problem? Knowing that God's already got the answer for you. All you got to do is seek Him, right? Seek, and ye shall what? Find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Ask, and ye shall receive. Wouldn't it be good if we learned, instead of woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, if we would just seek ye first the kingdom of God. For God to fight for you, it's going to take some faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. It is going to take some faith. Not that God's not still working, because see, God don't work on your faith. But I'll tell you what, how He works through you is going to depend on your faith. Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So can I please God by waking up in the morning and saying, this is what I'm going to do today. I got my whole plan figured out. I'm going to live my life like this. I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this. That's how I'm going to please God. By faith, I got to ask the Lord, Lord, why is it that you allowed me to wake up another day? What is it that you have for me today? Who is it that you're going to put in my path today that maybe I, for your cause, can make a difference in their life? Why did you continue to let me have this job? Lord, why did you take this job from me? Why is it that everything I do today, Lord, please tell me why? And by faith, trust Him. Everything you do ought to be by faith. Even coming to church by faith, you should have prayed that God was going to move on the church service today before you ever even came here. Folks, you don't need to come to church to get right. Folks, you should come to church because you're right and because you're ready to worship the Lord and because you're ready to hear from heaven. So many years I came to church because I had to. I used to tell people I was a drug baby. I was drugged to church with or without. I didn't have the option. Right? So, look, but now I don't have that mentality anymore. Here's my mentality. I can't wait for Sunday morning. I get to go to church. I get to see my Christian friends, my Christian brothers, my Christian sisters. I get to see the smiles on their faces. I get to hear what the Lord's done in their families this week. Folks, that is a privilege and an honor to serve God. And we ought to look at it like that. But we need to live by faith. For God to fight will take some obedience. A couple more scriptures here. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. You know the scripture, to obey is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15. You know, there's a group of people out there. Unfortunately, there are a group of Christians out there that think they deserve all the blessings of God, but they should be able to live how they want to live. And folks, that's just contrary to the Bible. Amen? God does not say that anywhere. You live how you want to live, and I'm just going to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. No, no, no. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Look at 1 Samuel 15, or 14, 15, verse 22. I'm in 2 Samuel. There we go. Verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in what? Burnt offerings and sacrifices, everything you can give to God that you're capable of giving. Anybody remember the story of Cain and Abel? How did God think about Cain's sacrifice? Folks, you know why He didn't like Cain's sacrifice? Because everything Cain sacrificed, Cain was able to do on his own. It was nothing about God. It must have been the blood. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in what? Obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Folks, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. I can tell you this. I'll say it once. I'll say it 1,000 times before I die. You can choose your choices, but you cannot choose your consequences. You can choose whatever you want to do. If you choose to be one of those kind of Christians, go ahead. God's not going to put a leash on you and not make you do it. But, you know, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You better remember that God's promises are still true, regardless of how you feel about it. In our fallen and fearful state, we must not lose confidence in God. One more scripture, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter number 10 this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. I appreciate you listening a little bit longer than normal. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34, the Bible says, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds." Hey folks, do you remember the day you were in your bonds and God reached down and had compassion on you? How many remember the day you were saved? You know, listen, that story should never, ever, ever get old to you. You should love telling that story of when people, I love when people come up here and say, "Brother Drew, that was a song that was played the day I got saved." And I love the joy. You know, David said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Your salvation should never get old to you. You should never get tired of telling that story. Amen. "And took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by what, church? But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition." Aren't you glad we're not of them people? "But of them that believe to the saving of our soul." In our fallen state, guys, we cannot lose confidence in our God. He is still the same God that parted the Red Sea. The exact same God that watched over Daniel when he was in a den of hungry lions. The same God that walked out on that battlefield with David when David looked up and said, "I come in the name of the Lord." The same God that was with Joshua when he said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is the same God that sent his only begotten Son Jesus to die for your sins. He has not changed. Not one bit. God always sees what we don't. Remember that. He always sees what we cannot. In patience, receive and obey the will of God. God wants us to live by faith and live by faith alone. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, I ask you this morning now, we don't have a piano this morning, a piano player, but Lord, we're taking just a few moments, and Lord, if someone needs to come and do business with you this morning, I pray, God, that they understand that they don't need a piano. This altar's open. I pray, God, that we'll not go down to Egypt for help, but Lord, we'll learn to seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God, I thank you so much for your promises. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, thank you for the families who are here this morning. Lord, bless us now as we go about our afternoon. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to just please, God, keep us safe on the roads home. Thank you for the rain we got today. Lord, bless the ones who are not here, the ones who are sick and couldn't be with us. Lord, I know they're with us in spirit, and we thank you for that. Lord, bless us now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. You are